We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello and welcome to another Dynasty Command Center podcast. I am your host, Travis May, and Curtis Patrick is not with me today. I'll be flying solo, talking about some future studs of the NFL. But just keep in mind, if you have not already gotten your rookie guide via rotoviz.com, you can feed your rookie fever right now. You just go to rotoviz.com and check out the Dynasty Command Center rookie guide. It's got rankings, tons of fun analytical coverage, and everything you need to really tackle all the information at hand with these rookies pre-combine. And it is kind of crazy that the NFL combine is, what, 2 weeks away, less than that now. We're coming up on it. We're going to be talking about rookies really for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 months as we take our time heading into the off season and really leading up to, I guess, really into August. We'll be talking about these rookies and which ones are going to be the impact players early on. Who's going to be this year's AJ Brown or Miko Hardman or Josh Jacobs or Miles Sanders? What's it going to look like with these rookies? And we've already talked about the first tier and even some of the second tier players as far as rookies go. But I want to actually take a special episode to talk about some of the other future studs of the NFL that aren't quite there yet. They haven't declared for the NFL draft just yet. And really, if you pay attention to college football, I mean, National Signing Day was just last week. And so there's all these new faces and new names to get to know that just joined your favorite college football team. Maybe you don't even have a favorite college football team, but these are players that are going to play in the NFL one day as well. And you can learn a lot from recruiting classes, just looking at, National Signing Day, all the top classes, all the top players, and five-star studs and things like that. And I don't know where you are in terms of your understanding of the importance of recruiting or National Signing Day, when it happens, what it really looks like. But it really matters when you can pretty much predict the future when you look at recruiting classes for college football. 3 years ago, I mean, you can look back at some of the big names then, and even 3 years ago when I was still hosting the Dynasty Live podcast, I outlined some of the hit rates for some of the elite prospects at running back and wide receiver. And essentially, I mean, five-star players, they hit at a ridiculously high rate. Four-star players, you still get some players that hit. I mean, really players inside like the top 100 overall prospects. And then you get to the three stars, and it's an absolute mess of trying to figure out who's going to do what, when, and where. And it's all about opportunity. Kind of like in the NFL, it's all about opportunity. And so today, I really just want to dive into some of the new faces that just joined college football teams, and maybe even perhaps some of the other top college playmakers and how those new faces might impact the stock of some of our favorite Devy or college football prospects and things like that. But if you don't believe me about the, you know, being able to predict the future, I mean, just 3 years ago, we were talking about some of the big names that I talked about on several different episodes, talking about some Devy players, were guys like Cam Akers, Florida State, who we're talking about now. He's in that second tier. He was along with Najee Harris, who's probably going to be a top running back in the 2021 draft. Cam Akers was like the guy. He was really, by consensus, a top five overall player in the entire country coming out of high school. So we already knew way back then that he had all the tools, he had all that he needed to succeed in college. And even though Florida State has one of the worst offensive line situations in all of Power Five, if not all of college football, he's still, his talent rose above, and he could be a day two draft selection this year. And not only that, it's not just running backs either. I mean, we knew even back then, looking at T. Higgins coming into Clemson, that he was the real deal. He was a five-star prospect. He was just an obvious kind of slam dunk physical specimen long before this year's draft. And really, the entire trio of the stud Alabama wide receivers and Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and even Devontae Smith, who chose to stay back in school for one more year, we were talking about them because they were all four and five star studs. They were coming in to fill a void. And really at that point, all they had to really join was Calvin Ridley. But we knew that those guys were going to make it because they had all the physical traits. They had all the right things going for them, and they had opportunity. And even guys with less than obvious opportunity that were ranked pretty high. I mean, like you look back at players like J.K. Dobbins, like a big rookie name this year, like a consensus top three rookie this year. He was a top 50 recruit. He wasn't a five-star stud, but had you looked in between the lines of the opportunity at hand for him at Ohio State, you could have known, okay, this guy has the physical tools. He's got like the 4.4 wheels to kind of make a difference early on in his career, and you could have known that he would come up alongside Mike Weber and emerge as one of the best college playmakers in all of college football. So it's fun looking back at prior seasons, getting to know some of these studs. And so I really just want to take some time and act, you know, look at this year's National Signing Day, new freshman guys. I know it's years out in advance, but if you want to predict the future, if you want to check out Devy Leagues, if you want to follow some of these players from the ground up, from the beginning of their college football career to where they are on your NFL dynasty rosters, fantasy football rosters, I want to help you guys do that today. So I don't know if you play in Devy Leagues or even if you know what a Devy League is, but essentially you can own, you know, college players on your roster before they're even in the NFL, which is a lot of fun. I mean, you get to follow guys for years, you know, like imagine having Juju Smith-Schuster on your roster for 3 years in college, and then he gets to the pros and does what he did. Or maybe you have a Michael Thomas on your roster for a couple of years and he goes off and does what he did. Or maybe just you joined here recently and you had a player like A.J. Brown, who was a five-star wide receiver for Ole Miss coming into college. Or Miles Sanders, five-star running back who came into Penn State and really didn't do much, but he sat on your bench for maybe a couple of years and now he's in the pros. Now he's starting for you. And even like guys like Mecole Hardman, who was really a top 10 player in the country coming into college. We could have seen those guys coming long before if all we did was just kind of talk about, you know, National Signing Day and recruiting and what that looks like and how that impacts the future of those playmakers alone and the teams that they join as well. And I've done this before. We've actually talked Devy in a few occasions. We're not going to always do this, but want to take some time here to do that. And I've talked about like a Devy player of the week and kind of talked about like a player I really want to highlight. And it's time for that. It's time for our betonline.ag Devy player of the week. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. And the Devy player of the week, the betonline.ag Devy player of the week, is Zachary Evans. If you've been following college football recruiting for some time for this cycle, for the 2020 class, incoming freshman this fall, Zachary Evans, or Zach Evans, if you just want to call him that, he's been the name to know because he's had such a strange journey of recruiting. It seems like every team in the country wanted this elite back because he has all the physical traits. He looks like Nick Chubb did when he came into high school, or when he came into college, rather. And he looks like Nick Chubb with maybe some receiving chops and maybe equal speed, maybe even a little bit better potential for that. It's absolute. I don't want to get into too much hyperbole with any kind of player, but the guy for a long time, for a couple years now, really, has been the consensus number one overall running back recruit in the country. Now, recently, he had a couple backs kind of come up in the conversation to kind of pass him, Bijan Robinson for Texas and DeMarcus Bowman for Clemson. But really, he's been the consensus top option for quite some time and looks like he has all the tools and traits to go off. The problem is he hasn't committed to a school. National Signing Day was last Wednesday, February 5th. And right now, on the day of recording, it's almost about a week later. And we still don't know where he's going to be playing. I mean, early on, everyone thought he was going to go to Georgia. He was going to be the next DeAndre Swift. He was going to be the next Todd Gurley for Georgia. But he was going to be, you could talk about a laundry list of Georgia running backs that were good. But he was supposed to be the next big thing there. And everyone thought that was going to be the case. In fact, passing the early signing day period back in December, it looked like that was a sure thing, done deal. But it ended up coming out that he actually kind of rescinded his commitment there and he wasn't going to go there. So all the buzz was about again, because was he going to go to Texas A&M? Was he going to go to Tennessee? Is he going to go to Ole Miss? Is there still room at Ohio State for him to add on there? There was all sorts of questions surrounding Zachary Evans, and that's still going on today. So his future could really change other backs' futures depending on what he chooses to do. Now, with Georgia, it doesn't necessarily look like he's going to go there, because one of my favorite freshman running backs is already there in Kendall Milton. And there was another four-star back that just joined on as well. And so you have two four- or five-star guys, plus Zamir White, plus, I mean, it's kind of a stable of backs already at Georgia. So it's looking like he might not end up at, running back university. But if he goes and ends up at, Tennessee, all he really has to compete with there's Eric Gray and the faster, shiftier Ty Chandler. But Zachary Evans would clearly automatically be the best back in town. There's still talk about him going to Texas A&M, and he really, you'd have to compete with Isaiah Spiller, a couple other decent backups with no experience there, but he could immediately kind of be in the feature back role there. And then there's still some buzz about him going to Ole Miss, which I hope that doesn't happen, because Jerrion Ealy, who's a top Devy player prospect, he one of those two-sport athletes, elite athlete-type guys that I want to see have in a feature back role for Ole Miss. I hope that doesn't happen for Jerrion Ealy's sake, but any of those landing spots, he could come in right away and make a big splash, maybe have like an 800 to 1,000-yard season right out of the gate. So Zachary Evans is the Devy Player of the Week for a reason. He's the man of the hour, and is probably going to be the buzz player really in all of college football for the next couple months. And just because of how his recruiting and lack of commitment and drama has worked out. But don't want to spend too much time on one player. So there you have it. That's our betonline.ag Devy Player of the Week. And remember to use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. And so, like I said, don't want to spend too much time on one player, but I do want to kind of talk about some of the, other running backs that are coming in, situations that might change based on, those guys being added to their respective backfields. And I know a lot of you, if you're familiar with college football, you're already kind of familiar with some of the top names, eligible for 2021. Don't want to spend too much time on those guys, but obviously that did change the landscape of really the whole rookie season of content we were going to be talking about at Dynasty Command Center and at RotoViz. I mean, you had Travis Etienne at Clemson, and he chose to stay for one more year. That completely changed the outlook of, the five-star running back coming in there. Chuba Hubbard for Oklahoma State, obviously he, going back to Oklahoma State for one more year, with Spencer Sanders still there, Tylan Wallace still there, obviously a lot to be excited about for him. And Najee Harris kind of ruined the chances for any new names in this running back class for Alabama. We typically, every year almost, I feel like have a running back that we're excited about in Devy circles for Alabama. But Trey Sanders, he might come alongside. He missed all of last season for Alabama. He might be the kind of 1B to Najee Harris for Alabama this year. And Sanders isn't draft eligible till 2022, but those guys could be the kind of tandem there. But Najee Harris looks like he's in line for a huge, huge role. And obviously, I mentioned Jerrion Ealy. That's a big name. I have him really high. And so Zachary Evans up where he is right now in discussions, if he does go to Ole Miss, that's going to change everything for Ealy. But Ealy, for me, I'm higher on Jerrion Ealy than almost anybody that I've found in terms of Debbie rankers anywhere. He's actually a top 20 Debbie pick for me right now, unless Zachary Evans goes there and joins that backfield, because he's going to absolutely feature. But Bijan Robinson for Texas, he's a new recruit. He's got the feature back size. He's already 215, 220 pounds. It looks like 6 foot, 6'1", something like that. He's right now, he's the back that passed Zachary Evans in terms of most recruiting websites, recruiting resources, and looks like he can catch too. So he looks like a feature back, absolute monster coming in for Texas football, and was really the staple of their recruiting class this year. The player that really took their recruiting class up into the next level. They actually had a top 10 recruiting class, actually had the best recruiting class according to the 24/7 Sports composite ranking. They actually had the best recruiting class in all of the Big 12. And so that was really huge, big get for Texas. Obviously, Texas has some good running backs already in Keyonte Ingram, who that's a really popular name, a guy you should look into if you play in Devy Leagues, and he might still be available if you don't play in a super deep Devy League, Keyonte Ingram, that is. And then Rashawn Johnson, who actually kind of stepped up in a big way for them at running back last year. I'm not sure what his role is going to be moving forward. He actually was recruited as a quarterback, came in, and was like, hey, I want to play. I want to make an impact. Sam Ellinger's already here. And he actually became a running back, and was a running back too, and a productive one at that. And they also have Jordan Whittington, who, I mean, he's like a hybrid. He's just a freak athlete. Coming into college, he was like one of those high star, you know, there's, I don't know why they do this, but like they're like an athlete designation. You know, like they could be a defender, they could be a running back, they could be a wide receiver. He's just a freak. And if he gets any opportunity, he could be another running back in that stable too. But given Bijan Robinson being a five-star, given that they already have Ingram and Johnson there, I'm thinking Robinson probably just slots in immediately, if not by year two, as the feature back pretty quickly. He could be like the 1B or maybe the third option behind Ingram and Johnson this year. Kind of like DeAndre Swift as a freshman, you know, when they were in later game situations. DeAndre Swift came in and actually got significant work for Georgia as a true freshman, even though they already had two good backs there in Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb. I could see a similar emergence and kind of, flashes of greatness for Robinson in year one for Texas. That's a name to definitely draft early if you are a Devy extraordinaire and love to play in those, especially deeper leagues, and you want to take some freshmen. DeMarcus Bowman is a player that he looks like the next version of Travis Etienne. I mean, he is a sprinter. He's got elite speed. He could come in for Clemson right away, make an impact. Obviously, Lynn J. Dixon was pretty good in some limited work when Travis Etienne, when Clemson got up by three or four touchdowns, Lynn J. Dixon would come in and he did just fine. But I think the future of Clemson football at the running back position is DeMarcus Bowman after Travis Etienne departs after this coming season. So somebody that I wouldn't expect huge production out of immediately, but you should definitely draft because you're not going to have a chance to next year. And then Tank Bigsby, I mean, I'm an Auburn fan. I like Auburn quite a bit. I don't know why Jatarvius Whitlow, who was the lead back for most of his time there, decided to enter the transfer portal, but it looks like they're going to be without Whitlow at Auburn this year. So Tank Bigsby comes in, four-star running back. He compared with DJ Williams, who actually did pretty well for Auburn when Whitlow missed some time. And really just even before that, he was already looking decent in limited action. So that could be a fun 1-2 punch with DJ Williams and Tank Bigsby. That's Tank. That's legit his name. Tank Bigsby. So he's not a huge feature back like his name would imply, but he has adequate size, has some crazy burst to him. I could see him catching more passes than DJ Williams would if they kind of split the work that way, but definitely somebody to keep in mind. And I mentioned just kind of in passing already, really a guy that could be the running back one in this class beyond Zachary Evans, beyond Bijan Robinson, beyond DeMarcus Bowman. He could be the best back in this bunch. And that is that's Kendall Milton. He's the guy that went to Georgia. He's the guy that looks like he could be the real deal. He could come in and come alongside Zamir White and perhaps surpass him and have most of the work in year one. He's got the feature back skills. He really does. I mean, the way that he runs, he a little bit upright at times. I mean, he can run similar in terms of style to Todd Gurley. And obviously, that's a name that's a little sore for some people because of the issues as of late with his value and dynasty. But in college and in Devy and in his recruiting and in his draft capital, he was the guy. And so if Milton follows a similar path and follows the path of many of the recent backs for Georgia and kind of is a part of a really high quality 1-2 punch and maybe has a really standout feature year, 1 year, Milton could be a first round pick, just slam dunk 3 seasons from now. So he looks like he could be the steal if you can't get any of the other guys I mentioned. And in some leagues, he's going to go before some of these guys just because it's Georgia and it's running back university. And everyone thinks, well, these guys are the guys you want to own. I mean, if you just look at the recently drafted backs, people like to go in on Georgia running backs, Alabama running backs. They seem to be the obvious decision. But before I get to wide receivers, I got to tell you about our friends at Untuck It. I mean, have you ever seen an untucked button down? They look bad. And why is that? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. But thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 plus fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. I mean, for me, I work in the music industry and music publishing, and it's kind of just part of the uniform. You wear an untucked shirt, and it's got to fit you just right. I mean, and these shirts are actually great and do just that. And you can choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-down, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. And with Untuck It, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. And their website is super easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted just to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. And so to kind of finish up this episode, I do want to kind of talk about some of the incoming wide receivers and what that could mean for some of your top, you know, your favorite players that are already in college football making plays. I mean, obviously, just some of the top names off the bat, if you haven't been paying attention to college football, obviously, Ja'Marr Chase won the Biletnikoff Award for being the best wide receiver in college football this year. Ja'Marr Chase for LSU kind of put on a show for LSU all year with Joe Burrow. And there's questions at quarterback for him, but he's not going to have any problem putting up a ridiculous season again, regardless of who is at the helm, whether that's Miles Brennan or some other name. He's going to be just fine. And he's going to have some company this year that I'll get to here shortly at the wide receiver position. But they are returning Terrace Marshall as well, who's a top player, but they're also losing Thaddeus Moss, the tight end, and of course Justin Jefferson, who was like the go-to kind of slot option that made that a deadly trio with Marshall and Chase and Jefferson all together. But I think they're just going to kind of shift around the parts and who those guys are in that situation. Ja'Marr Chase is just going to dominate again. Obviously, I went to Purdue, and so Rondale Moore coming in, he's going to have a bounce back year. He missed most of the season last year due to injury, a weird hyperextended knee situation. Got injured on the same play as his quarterback. Rough year for the Boilermakers, but he's somebody that doesn't have a ton of competition returning besides David Bell. Bryson Hopkins at tight end is departing, so he could still have a huge, huge market share in terms of receptions and yards. And he's a little undersized, but he's going to probably have another 2,000-plus all-purpose type year for the Boilermakers. And, of course, Justin Ross for Clemson, he looks like he's going to have a year where he could really feature now that T. Higgins is departed. Could be a huge year for him. One more year with Trevor Lawrence chucking in the ball. And then, of course, I'm really higher on, than most, I think, on George Pickens for Georgia. I think he it was highly productive in a really low-volume offense. So if he has a year where he can kind of feature and be the guy, he could really be the Devy overall number one wide receiver after this season, after guys like Chase, after guys like Ross and Moore depart. And of course, you got a final season, Tylan Wallace for Oklahoma State. You got Rashad Bateman for Minnesota. Seth Williams at Auburn. Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle still at Alabama. There's a stacked group of wide receivers to get excited about in college football. And of course, maybe the fastest guy of them all, Tamorian Terry for Florida State. It'll be interesting to see if he can maintain his efficiency this year and have another, you know, year where he just averages almost 20 yards per reception. Tons and tons of guys to get excited about there. Really, the guy that I want to see do it again, two guys I really want to see do it again that aren't brand new faces to college football are Sage Surratt for Wake Forest and Tutu Atwell for Louisville. Guys that don't have the recruiting pedigree, that weren't in conversations like or episodes like this one just a couple years back, but guys that blew up last year from a production standpoint, had crazy high dominators, adjusted yards per team, pass attempt numbers, all the production profile numbers you want to see out of players at an early stage in their career. But I just want to see them do it again. Surratt is eligible, and Atwell is actually technically eligible for 2021, but guys that had limited action before this past year, I want to see them do it again. Atwell, a really light, really skinnier guy, but high yards per reception, high efficiency guy, and not that impressive of an offense. And Surratt, I want to see if he can have success without his quarterback Jamie Newman tossing him the ball. I don't know who, if it's going to be Sam Hartman or another name throwing the ball at Wake Forest, but he is in kind of a prove it year. 6'3", 220, almost like fits the Demaryius Thomas mold. There for him. Atwell is probably going to be more of like the Hollywood Brown guy if he does hit, more along the Deshaun Jackson line of things if he does hit. But I want to talk about just a few freshman wide receivers that could make an impact early before we wrap things up here. There are a bunch of wide receivers, if you go down the line of recent hits, that have been, at least from a draft capital standpoint, if not elite level production, that have come out of Ohio State here recently. Obviously, last year, Paris Campbell was a little bit of a disappointment, had the draft capital. Seemed like it could be a situation where he works his way up. Maybe he sees a year two boost. But, you know, you got guys like Curtis Samuel, who's shown that he can splash. And, of course, Michael Thomas has been the difference maker in all fantasy football leagues everywhere for the past 3-4 years. And there was a guy that we were talking about on episodes like this years prior to him even coming into the league. But now, and obviously, even KJ Hill, I mean, he could get some capital this year. The guy who has more receptions than any other wide receiver for Ohio State in school history. But they still have Chris Olave, who had 12 touchdowns last year. Garrett Wilson, who was last year's top Devy recruit, who is basically the consensus top overall best wide receiver in the country coming into college. But on top of that, it's just an embarrassment of just a luxury. It's just ridiculous riches for the Ohio State Buckeyes because they add two more 5-star wide receivers in Julian Fleming and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And that's a mouthful. So I'll say it again. Julian Fleming, that's pretty easy. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba, both those guys could be, impact players pretty quickly because it wasn't just KJ Hill that left this year. They also lost Benjamin Victor. They lost Austin Mack. So a bunch of the depth and kind of secondary receptions, a lot of the offense is probably going to go through Olave and Wilson, but there's going to be a third and maybe fourth option that emerged this year at wide receiver. Now, Jalen Gill, who was a big running back recruit, could be more of like that typical slot shifty guy at times for them, or H-back kind of role. for them. I don't really know if his role is going to expand, given his elite level of athleticism and the fact that Master Teague looks like he's going to be the feature back, and so Gill might not have much action as a running back. So he could be the wild card for Ohio State, and that's Jalen Gill, if you weren't familiar with his recruiting story a couple years ago. But he kind of came in and was the afterthought at running back because, you know, they already had J.K. Dobbins. They already had Master Teague. Well, Master Teague was the bigger feature back guy that came in the same class. And so he kind of got forgotten. But if he can work his way in at wide receiver, he could be the guy that limits even five-star studs like Julian Fleming, who looks like he could be the outside kind of feature X wide receiver, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, because he could be more of like a Z and move wide receiver that lines up in different spots around the formation. But I don't think he's going to be the dominant X like a Garrett Wilson could be, who's already there. And Olave is not going anywhere because he was like the focal point, really, of the passing game. So there's going to be a lot of mouths to feed at Ohio State this year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens between those two five stars and the studs that are already there. But Julian Fleming could be my wide receiver one in this class, just because he is so impressive, has the size and speed that you want to see already. It looks like he's got the route running. He's just a really balanced receiver coming in before he's even in college. But then I mentioned LSU adding some fun names there this year as well. So they lost Justin Jefferson. They lose Randy Moss's son and Thaddeus Moss. But then they add Kayshon Boutte and Eric Gilbert, who both five stars. Eric Gilbert, five-star tight end. Kayshon Boutte, five-star wide receiver. And Boutte, I mean, he really, with his play style, I mean, I don't want to get into hyperbole. He's not the next Odell Beckham locked in or anything, but his play style and ball skills and shifty quickness remind me of a college Odell Beckham Jr. So if he comes in and is that kind of explosive player right away, he could be somebody that garners more volume than a Terrace Marshall this season. So they could immediately have another deadly trio of wide receivers. And Eric Gilbert looks like he's got the receiving skills and the size to be an adequate blocker right out of the gate. They could be right back where they were in terms of offensive playmakers. It's going to be all about the quarterback for them at LSU. So Kayshon Boutte, I mean, he could be the wide receiver one as well in that conversation, most certainly, for guys that just signed this year as true freshmen. So keep that name in mind. And Gilbert could be the tight end one. He looks like he could be like that first round talent at tight end here in a few years. A couple more names as well. Demon Devis for Texas A&M is an interesting story because he's another guy just because of his freak athleticism and just his lanky frame. I mean, he could end up being the best of the bunch in this crew as well, but he kind of had a weird story. He was due to some weird transfer rules. He was came in and actually he missed his entire final season of high school for production. So a weird take, not exactly the normal recruiting path, but still got a five-star rating, even though he didn't even have a senior year to play. Keep an eye on him to end up featured at some point for Texas A&M, a wide receiver, immediately coming in, joining Osbin, potentially as a wide receiver one for that squad. And then Rakeem Jarrett, five-star from Maryland. Really strange decision for him to even go to Maryland. Maryland's been kind of a dumpster fire at quarterback. They haven't decided on who's the best option. They've had more than a dozen guys enter the transfer portal this past offseason. It's been kind of weird. They may retain some of those guys, but due to that situation, Rakeem Jarrett could come in and instantly slide into some major market share in that receiving offense. So that could be a lot of fun if he is able to come in and immediately use the opportunity and take advantage of his shifty skill set. Could immediately be in that reminiscent of an early career DJ Moore situation, just because there's nobody else there to even throw to. But the quarterback situation might be rough for a while. But I hope this episode was interesting for you. If you're not familiar with National Signing Day, you're not familiar with Recruiting Trail and things like that, or Devy Leagues, I'd encourage you all to check that out, because it's a lot of fun just watching these players develop from the ground up years and years before they're even in the pros. So if you have any questions on Devy or college fantasy football or any of these prospects, or, you know, the 200 other guys I have on my list I'm still trying to get through this offseason, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. Hop on our Slack that we've got going on with the Dynasty Command Center crew. But feel free to reach out to me anytime. We're going to be talking about rookies again here soon with Curtis. And I can't believe the combine's already almost upon us. But until next time, keep living that Dynasty life.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.